This is Pastor Emery. I will prove to you that America was founded as a Christian nation, and that its origin was like no other nation in world history. Are the ministers right when they say America is not mentioned in the Bible? Is it possible that God Almighty, who knows the end from the beginning, forgot to tell us that we would be the greatest Christian nation of all history? Well, I don't think so, and as this radio series studies both our history and the Holy Word of God, you too will find America is in the Bible. Stay tuned for broadcast number 2 on America's Roots.
And now, Pastor Sheldon Emery.
Thank you. In the 51st chapter of Isaiah, those who seek righteousness are told to look to their origins, Isaiah 51, verse 1 and 2. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Today that would mean you who seek right doing, you who seek Christ. You Christians, look unto the rock when ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit when ye are digged. Is God Almighty calling Christians to look unto their origins? I believe so, and that is what this series is all about, America's roots in Christ and in the Holy Word of God. I have been proving America's roots in Christ by reading from the civil and political documents which are the foundation of this strange nation called America. Last week, I began by reading some questions posed over 20 years ago by a minister from California. I think these questions should be asked to all who claim the name of Christian, and especially, they should be asked of all who claim the title minister or preacher. Question number 1. Did Jesus Christ know of this North American continent? Question number 2. Did Jesus Christ know that a great nation would be established here? Number 3. Did Jesus Christ know this great nation would be Christian from its beginning? If they answer all three of those questions with a yes, the only answer a true believer in Christ could give, then here is the fourth and last question they should be asked. Is it possible that this great nation known to Jesus Christ was never mentioned, indicated, or foretold in the Bible? As most of my listeners know, that question is answered by most ministers by saying, no, America is not in the Bible. Later we will search the Bible for the answer to question number 4 to see if America is in the Bible. However, first I must spend some time on the subject raised in question 3, was America Christian from its beginning? Many of my listeners may argue with that premise and insist that America was not begun as a Christian nation. If you will listen and consider the evidence I will present, I believe I can prove to Christian and non-Christian alike that the foundation stones of the United States of America were Jesus Christ and Christianity in a manner unlike any nation before or since. You should listen to my evidence, for wise King Solomon wrote in Proverbs 18:13, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. I trust you will not be foolish and repeat the arguments of the atheists that America is not a Christian nation before you hear the whole matter on America is a Christian nation. Every person who lives inside the borders of this great nation has a stake in its future. The type of future America has depends upon whether God Almighty is concerned with America or whether he is not. If God had no hand in America's founding, then perhaps he will have no hand in its future. However, if God was in America's beginnings, then perhaps God has more to do with America than you thought, and perhaps America has a quite different destiny than that which most Christian ministers seem to believe. Last week I read from some of the charters and compacts of the original American colonies. These were the documents issued by the king of the country from which the colonists came, giving the colonists authority to occupy and develop certain lands on the North American continent. The charter or compact would specify the location of the colony, give the rules as to how it was to be governed, and usually would state the purpose or purposes for the settlement of the lands designated in the charter. For our purpose here, it is not necessary that we read the complete charter or compact. Instead, I have been reading those parts which have a bearing on my argument that America began as a Christian nation. Since many of you, especially those who are new to my broadcast, may never have read or heard what is in these American colonial charters, I will repeat today some parts that I read last week. The first charter for Virginia Colony, signed by King James I of England on April 10, 1620, used the phrase, "in propagating the Christian religion," as a reason for the enterprise. To prove this was no idle statement, a later charter to the same colony ordered that all inhabitants, meaning all the colonists from England, had to, quote, "determine to live together in the fear and true worship of Almighty God, Christian peace, and civil quietness," end of quote. This was only one of many charters which indicates that only professing Christians were even considered by many as colonists to be sent to the New World. The Mayflower Compact was the first contract signed not by a king, but between the colonists themselves, and in it the colonists state they undertook this voyage to plant a colony in North America, quote, "for the glory of God and advancement of the Christian faith," end of quote. They then went on to say that they were now forming a civil body politic, meaning they were now forming a government to further those ends, meaning quite plainly that that government was to function for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. William Bradford, who came with the Pilgrims on the Mayflower, later wrote a history of the Plymouth Plantation in which he gave the reasons for the Pilgrims leaving Holland to come to this North American wilderness. He summed it up, quote, "lastly, and which was not least, a great hope and inward zeal they had of laying some good foundation, or at least to make some way thereunto, for the propagating and advancing the gospel of the kingdom of Christ in those remote parts of the world," end of quote, from Bradford. Later, the king issued an official charter for Plymouth Colony, and in it the purpose of the colony was given, quote, "in hope thereby to advance the enlargement of the Christian religion to the glory of God Almighty," end of quote. The evidence is overwhelming that the thoughts about America by both king and commoner were bound up with a vision of the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And I must repeat again, as I have done before, that I am not reading from church or missionary documents. These are civil documents signed by the king or another authorized person in the government. These are political or government documents, if you will, whose main purpose was to put in writing the order of government and the purposes of that government. I stress that, and you'll hear me repeat this from time to time, for you must understand these are the foundation stones not of American churches or religious movements, but the foundation stones of the American government, the American nation. The left-wingers and the Antichrist are not afraid to let you find out that Christians founded churches or missions in North America, but they are desperately afraid you might find out that Christians organized their government in North America upon Jesus Christ and the Word of God. That is why the left-wingers and the Antichrist ridicule and defame the early Christian inhabitants of this nation, calling them religious bigots, straight-laced, blue noses, puritanical, and so on. They try to prevent you from learning It was those real Christians who founded your original governments. Non-Christians teach your children in government schools today that, oh yes, there were some Christians who came over here, and they may have made some Christian statements, and they formed churches, but most who came to America came for gold or for land, and therefore the government had nothing to do with Christianity. Don't let them fool you, my friends, for their intentions in deceiving you are as base as their methods of doing so. You see, the Antichrist, the anti-Americans, are forcing upon us all sorts of non-Christian, even anti-Christian laws and practices. They want a non-Christian, even an anti-Christian government in America. However, they know they could not install an anti-Christian government over America if Americans really understood that our original form of governments, local and national, and all of our original laws came from the Christian Bible. To demonstrate how difficult it would be for them to sweep aside our Christian laws if we knew they were Christian laws, let us consider a few of the things they are doing to us. Consider, as an example, our rulers making treaties with non-Christian and even anti-Christian nations, giving them aid and help in their anti-Christian activities. Would we accept that and sit by so silently if we realized such things were in opposition to our founding principles of Christianity? What about abortion, the murder of the unborn? Have you ever noticed how the pro-abortionists use the phrase, "We don't believe they," meaning the opponents of abortion, "we don't believe they should force their religion upon other people"? Notice, they call the opposition to abortion by the word religion. And of course it is. It is the Christian religion. And who opposed abortion in America since our beginning as colonies? Who arrested the abortionist and either executed him or put him in prison? Was it the churches? No, it was the government. And what was the government doing when it acted in opposition to abortion? Well, it was acting according to the precepts upon which that government was founded, the precepts of the Christian religion. The pro-abortionists and other wicked people in America know that they must fear Christian churches, but Christian government. They know only government has the power to stop abortions and other evil doing, and that only a Christian government would do so. And so they must keep you from knowing that your whole government was based upon the precepts of the Christian Bible from its very beginning. They know your ignorance of that will keep you from insisting that your government enforce Christian law. They know that if your government enforced Christian law, they would not only be stopped in their murder of the unborn, those who murdered the unborn would themselves be executed. I might remind you, in case you forgot it or never knew it, that less than two generations ago in the United States, anyone convicted of performing an abortion would have been executed. 50 years ago, pornographers were still arrested and imprisoned. I am reading colonial documents of 350 years ago, yet we need not go back that far. We need go back only two generations to find enforcement of Christian law by our government. What a change! Why do you think the Antichrist have harped and harped on the phrase separation of church and state until it is now commonly quoted even from most pulpits? Was it because they were afraid that Christianity and government were going to somehow unite in the future? No. It was because they knew Christianity and government were already united in the past.
It was exactly that connection between Christianity and government that they knew they had to destroy if they ever hoped to take over America. They knew, in order to sever that connection between Christianity and government, they had to separate us from our roots, to separate us from our history. They knew they had to make us ignorant of the truth that government in early America was Christian from its origin. Most patriots realize the left wing and the Antichrist want to destroy Christianity. Marx, Lenin, Stalin, all communist leaders have made that plain in a thousand different ways. Well, if it is Christianity they are against, why don't they just try to change our religion? The answer is obvious. They realized they could not destroy the Christian religion until they stopped the American government from protecting and upholding that Christian religion. How best to stop the American government from being a protector of Christianity? Well, make the Americans forget that their fathers organized governments for the purpose of protecting the Christians and Christianity. Remove from our history books the writings of our colonial founders. Don't let us read the Maryland Charter, which ended with a proviso that no interpretation of the Charter should be allowed whereby, quote, God's holy and true Christian religion might in any wise suffer, end of quote. Deny us the knowledge that our forefathers wrote into the Rhode Island Charter that the very reason for the Rhode Island government was that the people might, quote, be in a better capacity to defend themselves in their rights and liberties against all the enemies of the Christian faith, end of quote. In short, deny our children the truth that government was established in America not to build monuments, not to tax the workers to support non-workers, not to tax the citizens of America to give money to Antichrist in other lands, not to finance abortions, not to control labor, business, and industry, but government was established for the protection of Christians in the practice of their Christian faith. That was the main purpose of colonial government, and the Antichrist have now denied us that knowledge of the origin of our government and our laws in the Christian Bible. Consider with me, if you would, how helpless this has made our Christian opposition to the Antichrist. Think of some of the types of corruption which are destroying this once great nation, such as drugs, alcohol, the distribution of pornographic material in magazines, movies, and over TV stations, abortion, and consider the urging and even allowing men and women to live together without being married, and even if married, how easily they are allowed to divorce. Christians oppose all those things, and the Antichrist then call us bigots, rightists, extremists, kooks, and fascists, and claim we cannot insist on enforcement of laws against those things because, after all, we are a pluralistic society. We are not a Christian nation. I hear even well-known evangelists use those same phrases. You can't answer them because you don't know that we are a Christian nation, and you don't know that as a Christian nation, we enforce the laws of the Christian Bible in the land. And you don't know that because they have kept that knowledge from you. They often say, you can't enforce morality. How many times have you heard that one? And yet what did we do in early America as we enforced God's laws but enforced morality? You may not have thought of it that way. Perhaps your minister has joined in the chorus that we can't enforce Bible laws, but the writers of the New Testament knew that it was the job of government to enforce Bible law, to enforce morality, if you please. Here is Romans 13. This is in the New Testament. After telling Christians to be subject to the higher powers, Paul writes, beginning in verse 3, "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil." Verse 4, "For he," meaning the civil ruler, "he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he," again meaning the civil ruler, "for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger." And here is what Paul says that civil ruler, that minister of God, is to do: to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Twice in that New Testament passage, it calls the ruler a minister of God to punish evildoers. In other words, to punish those who violate Bible law. Pastor Emery, do you mean to tell me the New Testament teaches that government is to punish those who violate God's laws? Yes, that is exactly what Paul is saying in Romans 13. Our Christian forefathers knew that. That is why they set up government with the authority to punish those who violated God's laws. To them, that was the essence of Christian government. Here is more from the New Testament for those who think God's laws have been put away and cannot be used by government to punish evildoers. 1 Timothy 1:8, "But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully." And how do we use God's laws lawfully? Verses 9 and 10. "Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers or kidnappers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine," end of quote. That's 1 Timothy 1, verses 8 through 10. Does that sound like we should not enforce morality? Nonsense. In Romans 13, it is made plain that that is exactly the duty of government, to punish the evildoer, to enforce morality. But you see, the Antichrist do not want the evildoers punished, nor do they want God's righteous morality enforced in America. And they know, if American Christians were to know this history of our early forefathers, how they established Christian government to enforce God's laws and to protect and advance the Christian religion, today's American Christians just might again demand that government, yes, government, begin punishing the evildoers in the land. In the few charters we have covered of our early history, you can see how little most Americans know about America's Christian roots. God willing, I will read more of the early American charters next week on broadcast number 3 in this series. This is Pastor Emery saying, goodbye, God bless you, read your Bibles, and pray for Christian America.